regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs.
Welcome to episode 109 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm cracking up. I don't know why it just hit me at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
You know, the music plays, and of course it's, you know, it's Van Tesla, or specifically Joel Thomas over at Kill the Mockingbirds. And I just remember the look on Greg Judy's face when I played the music, and he didn't see it coming. He's like, dude, what? He recoiled and like smiled. And then I noticed he got the part about Mowgli, and you could see him kind of smile again. Yeah. We didn't catch any of that on video because I stupidly didn't hit the record button in time. I don't know why it just occurred to me, but I just remember just cracking up because I was like, hang on a sec, Greg, let me go ahead and hit this button. I hit the button and he just kind of recoils. And then you can see his eyes just get big as soon as he heard about Mowgli. Like, okay, he heard about the jungle book.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, y'all, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And folks, you want to get your seeds there because they are not... Man, it is so awesome when you get somebody out there that does exactly what they say they do. So if you're needing any heirloom seeds, that's where you go. Also, any of your preparedness needs, look, things are getting weird.
Preparedness food and stuff like that, like ready to eat meal, not ready to eat, but add boiling water.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time I told you, look, you got to get hot and good night in so many different ways in terms of your preparedness. I just heard an interview with Michael Yon. He was on with Seth Holhouse, which, by the way, we're going to have an interview with him coming up on Wednesday. And Michael Yon has been hitting it out of... He's one of those people that people have just now discovered, and he's been hitting it out of the park in terms of everything he's predicting. And the best part about it is he's not one of those guys that sits in the studio somewhere, never looks, just looks at the papers, aggregates. He's actually in these countries. He was at the Darien Gap when they were letting all these Chinese in. He was over there in Spain. He was over there, all these hot spots, former Special Forces. When I say Special Forces, I mean Green Beret. The guy is extraordinary, and he's basically saying, look, it is a fact. We are heading for massive famine. I'm not saying this to sell anything. I'm just telling y'all because we've given you many resources in terms of how to go ahead and put stuff in your pantry that you grow or you go buy. But look, if those things you can't buy, whether it's, you know, butter or some of those other things you can't freeze dry or whatever the case, or maybe you just don't have enough meat to put back, then that's where you want to go checking out Heaven's Harvest. You can also tip a pimp over on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there where you can basically quadruple the speed.
I think you're stuck at triple.
Hey, that's good enough, man. And we're going to talk maybe a little variation of that a little bit on down the line into the main section of
before
this
we get into that. Dad had this giant piece of hay just sticking to his shirt. It's been bothering me this whole time.
Well, it's been on me since this morning, since I was out there dealing with this stuff. All right, y'all. Tip of the day, become an autodidact. An autodidact is just a fancy way of saying a self-taught person. Folks, this is a show that I'm basically getting a few things off my chest, and this is one of them. The most incredible things you're ever going to learn in your life are not going to come out of a university. Don't worry, I'll get to that in a minute. So let's jump straight into the farm news, son. I'm out here busting up some compost. Every time we get a batch done, I'm varying things on it to find out, okay, do we go this way? Do we flip it this way? Do we add all the materials at once? Do we mix them up? Every single time I get one batch done, a new one's going in. And this is, okay, as far as the autodidact thing, it's one thing to get training, but you can take that training and meld it in with things you might already know, or in the processing of doing it, guess what? I get much better at doing it.
Right.
So now, just like Tony Robbins taught in his first book, Awaken the Giant Within, I read that book a long time ago, and then all the wonderful benefits of it came back to me later. So, for example, say you want to get better at public speaking. So let's say you engage a way to speak to the public every month. So inside of a year, you got what? 12? You got 12 blocks of experiencing of having done it.
Right.
But what if you were to give that same speech to every person at a bus stop? Let's say you're catching a bus. Or anybody who will listen to you. Well, conceivably, in just a matter of days, I could have a year's worth of experience. So I could do this 12 times if I just speed it up. Well, it's no different with everything else you do. And I'm going to talk more about that later. But composting is part of that also, where I'm inventing my own methods. Not, and I want to give y'all a cautionary tale on this. And son, you know exactly who I'm talking about, because there's actually two of them that we can think of where the idea isn't to learn the task, but to become famous.
Yep.
For having changed it.
Yeah. Just learn the doggone task first before you go trying to become famous off of it, or try to change it.
I can name two people right off the bat. I don't need to say who they are, but you know who they are, don't you?
Yep. And, y'all wouldn't know either.
No, they
wouldn't know,
but we don't need to mention it anyway. But the point being is that we know people that are so anxious to become stars or just can't follow the doggone recipe. Just do the recipe as I did at first, and I'm like, okay, well, now that I got their recipe down, does it make sense for me to tweak it this way? Can I add stuff to it? So doing that, I'm basically inventing the method that works best for us here at Permapastures Farm.
Yep.
So I started off, okay, I had, in terms of composting, I got what I learned from Jeff Lawton. I got what I learned from William, having learned directly from Jeff Lawton, learned from the chicken tractor on steroids, became, you know, quite the expert on that. And now I'm taking all that experience, all that knowledge, all these other things I've had. Now that I have Dr. Elaine Ingham's method down, and I'm taking all these other pieces, it's like what we've developed in a food forest. At first, I did Stefan Subkoviak's thing. Then it was Mark Shepard's thing. Then we combined them. Then we add Jeff Lawton in there, combine that. Then we're taking all the best elements. So before you know it, folks, you devise a method that works best for you where you live.
Yeah.
And it's not doing it for the sole purpose of, I want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I know a lot, well, at least two people right off the bat.
But you can follow the doggone recipe. You can stick to the basics and still, and if your goal is to become famous, you can still do so. Like taking jiu-jitsu, for example. Black belts aren't the ones out there doing all the flashy, like high risk, low reward movements. They're the ones doing the same movements that the white belts are learning. They're just doing them perfectly.
Right. So it's refining the basics.
Right.
It's perfecting the basics. So when you get down to brass tacks to a lot of this stuff, y'all, I know I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent here, but it is so epidemic now in the people where we'll give them direct instructions on, let's say, how to put on bone saws or how to do all this. How to plant comfrey, how to do this, how to do that. And at first, follow the recipe. That's all you need to do. And before you know it, you'll be extracting your own methods for doing it.
Some more farm news. If any of y'all follow us on Instagram, man, the trolls have come out in force for us. They are like absolutely losing their mind. Like we're finding out on Instagram that, unlike the YouTube comments, which are like 99% friendly, and if they are like negative, they're still like very polite. Instagram people start off calling you names. They start the doggone conversation, and they might not even be real, like you were saying earlier. They might be trolls, but it just seems like there's like overall on Instagram, people are just unfiltered with what they're trying to say. What's wrong? Are you losing mic?
No, it was. I was only hearing you in my left ear, but it's all good. I'm wondering just how many of those people are even bots. But then again, it also goes to show you where it's a double-edged sword in this world we live in, because people have written things to me, and I'll tell you, I might have even talked about it before. They will write things that they would never say to your face. Case in point, I remember when we lived back in the Kansas City area, I belonged to this libertarian group. And the guy didn't know who I was. His name was Matthew. I won't say his last name.
Yeah.
And he had, back then I was on Facebook, and he wrote something that was really, really nasty. And then I was like, okay, it was really, really nasty. Well, he had no idea who he was writing to, but I knew who he was. I'd been to these meetings before, and he would always be one of those guys that would stand out. You can ask Granny. She was there when this happened. So I go to the next meeting knowing full well I was going to see him there. And he was everybody's kind of getting acquainted. He's standing on the other side of the table, and there's a whole room full of people in there, and everybody's going around introducing themselves. And the guy, he says, my name is Matthew Blank. He said his last name. Everybody goes around and gets to me, and I said, yeah, my name is Billy Bond, and I believe I know some of you folks in here, this person. Oh, Matthew, yeah, you had some really bad things to say about me on YouTube or
was it Facebook at the time?
Yeah, I said, you had some really bad things to say about me on Facebook. And then this dude literally turned ghost white. He was the kind of guy that, you know, but the point being is that, and then, you know, I kind of de-escalated the whole thing. And
I can kind of almost understand it to an extent, because there's something about getting on Instagram and seeing the comments, like it kind of sucks you in a little bit. Like, I kind of understand how people are, like, get fooled into like almost get brainwashed into just becoming like aggravated. Like, there were people that, like, the last two reels we put out weren't anything but divisive. If anything, it brought people together.
Should have.
And people instantly were pissed off.
Yeah. And the polarizing point of it was basically saying what I've said right here on this podcast. And I'm going to do a whole video just, I mean, if anybody has any questions.
Yep.
Because I think, honestly, I can make a pretty, look, I'm not out to win an argument. I just want to get at the truth. And if I got to crack some eggs in the process of getting that done, then so be it. And if people want to, because I look back at, you showed it to me, and I was like, there is not one, that's a unifying message.
Yeah.
That is not, like, a divisive one.
Okay. And also something else we should point out, the only negative comment we had on one of them from liberals was, this commie has a garden or something like that. It was like some liberal openly confessing that they were a commie and that they have a garden.
But overwhelmingly, the ones that were out of control were on the right.
Absolutely. 100% of the ones who were out of control were on the right. Now, that changes whenever we get to this one, you know, shocks me. The tree training reel we did, I don't know what's so doggone, like, divisive about that, or, like, controversial about that, but the lefties lost their doggone minds on that one. The college-trained botanists.
Yeah. Well, I'm not... That's okay, son. This is exactly what this program's all about. We'll cover that a little bit later. So, other farm news, we got a cucumber harvest out there. Michelle's about to go after it with Emily, I think. And I just got off a 3-day fast. And tonight, I'm not sure which is coming out first, whether it's this podcast or the live, but I'm going live with Pastor Lon. And also, look, I'm not going to reveal too much right now, but you're going to be glad you listened to it, because I'm coming off a 3-day fast. And I got to say, y'all, it is astonishing what happens.
Did you weigh yourself after this one before you started refeeding?
Yeah, I'm 170. So I started at 200 pounds. And I don't know, Jack Spearco, I told him about it. And he was like, dude, you weren't out of shape to begin with. And I was like, well, yeah, you can only see so much with a t-shirt on, but
Dez trying to get down to fighting weight.
Yeah, well,
he's trying to look like the TRT Stallone over here without the TRT.
Yeah, I'm not using any replacement therapy or anything like that, but the truth of it is, I'm finding out that just good methods and everything that I was officially taught is a lie. Like I said, we'll cover that in the main topic. All right, before we get into the next part, y'all, Heritage Life Skills coming up July 21st through the 23rd. You're going to want to check that out. William Forstin's going to be there. I'm going to be doing some stuff, too. I think we're even going to have a booth set up there. Do not miss it. Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. I know it's still a little ways off, and folks are not willing to commit these days to anything that far off, but I encourage you to do that. And if you can afford it, if you can swing it, we're going to have they're going to have a fundraiser for Vets for Child Rescue. It's going to be like a VIP dinner. And I can't wait to be there. I think it's going to be really, really good stuff. All right, since we're recording this program early, we don't have a download from Pastor Lon, but I'm going to be on with him tonight. And folks, you're going to be glad you tuned in. I think we got a really good thing going on. It's not going to be on the PimpCast
channel,
but it's
going to
be in a regular YouTube channel.
Permapasture's Farm YouTube channel at 7 p.m. Well, you'll see the live stream before you'll hear this podcast, Dad.
Well, I'm not sure how you were going to be putting them up.
Yeah. Yeah. So already heard the live stream.
So we're going to jump straight into bad news, good news. Well, actually, this is going to be bad news, interesting news, and great news, I think. So the bad news, let me just go ahead and cover that one right off. I'm going to go back to that thing that nobody ever talks about. In fact, the only one that talks about it consistently these days is John B. Wells. And haven't been able to listen to his program as of late. Some technical difficulties. We're subscribed there, and it's a paid subscription.
If I could have anybody's voice in the world, it'd be his.
Well, son, man. People seem to think you have a pretty great voice yourself. You just need some training. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Okay. So the IAEA says Fukushima nuclear plant plans to dump radioactive waste into the Pacific, and it's perfectly safe.
When I heard that there was a doggone ice wall keeping all that stuff in, my first thought was, what happens during the winter? I mean, what happens during the summer? You know what I mean?
Well,
like one, it ain't staying
frozen. Underground. It's underground.
I don't care. That's 50 degrees.
Yeah, but still, they got... But at the end of the day, we're talking 1.2 million cubic meters of wastewater that they're dumping into the Pacific. Let me tell you, let me just briefly stretch on something that you don't know. Okay? Depending on... Basically, the Pacific, for the most part, is mostly dead. Salmon fishing's all but dried up. Not a single killer... Last stats I heard... And it's been a year or maybe more that not a single killer whale has been born since this happened.
Wow.
Basically, we are killing the entire Pacific. Fukushima keeps dumping this stuff down in there, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares.
I wonder if it's possible to create a compost extract. You know how we use we did it on Patreon, y'all. If you want to check it out there. But we made a compost extract where we had the bag of compost, dunked it in the 5-gallon bucket and all that stuff. I wonder if there's a larger scale version of that we could do to help fix the ocean. Not necessarily fixing it all at once, but at least if we do it in this one spot, it's like a strategic spot to circulate through the ocean.
You know, if anybody would know, it'd probably be Paul Stamets, because I understand that over there in Chernobyl, that there was several mushroom species they put over there that basically eats up radiation. Wow. But
it's almost like God knew we were going to have this issue.
Well, everything, like my dad always used to say to me when I was younger, that he believes that God put a cure to every single thing for everything on this planet. And I tend to agree with that. But here we are poisoning the doggone ocean on a level that nobody's ever seen. I remember when this happened. And they were talking about, they raised the level of acceptable radiation. And where the jet streams were taking all this stuff was like in the Pacific Northwest and all those places. Like, those people up there ain't crazy enough already.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good conservative people up there too. But the point being, this stuff is still spewing out all these years later and nobody's talking about it. Kind of like that. Notice how the Ohio train derailment with all those... Remember,
it's declared an emergency now.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about it.
As of like a week ago or something.
Nobody's talking about it in the mainstream media.
Yep.
So the prostitutes are talking about it, and everybody else has largely forgotten about it. So let's just jump on into the interesting news.
That was the bad news, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this one's more interesting. I'm going to try to do more stuff like this because people are asking for it. And frankly, it's one of our hobbies, me and Williams both. So archaeologists unearthed giant prehistoric hand axes. Scientists baffled as to why 300,000-year-old tools are so large. Son, do you have a theory as to why that might be?
Yeah, because Nephilim are freaking huge. I wouldn't go to war with a toothpick, neither would they.
Yeah, so, you know, they have had to hide all of this, what we call occulted, which is another way of saying hidden, history. And... look at Genesis 6. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. Okay, most people in most religious circumstances, they just kind of overlooked that. I remember talking to a good friend of mine. He says, yeah, my dad looked it over, said there ain't nothing there. And I'm like, no, it's in the Bible, man. It's there for something.
But even then, I think people are, like, some Christians are fearful to believe anything that is not, like, directly in the Bible. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I'll tell you what. Here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't understand. Christians will accept without question the works of Philo, Josephus, all these historians, but they will immediately dismiss the book of Enoch, even though it was referred to by the brother of Jesus.
Yeah. And, and if you want to hear more on the book of Enoch, check out Joel from Kill the Mockingbirds. He did that one, what was it, his last like solo podcast episode.
I haven't had a chance to listen to that one, but he makes a lot of references to it. And, you know, if nothing else, if you were to look at it as an apocryphal book, okay, there's value in that. I'm not saying it's canon, but I don't see any contradictions. So, Book of Enoch, for those that don't know, is basically, you could say, read Genesis 6, and then you're like, okay, whoa, that just came out of nowhere. And then open up the Book of Enoch, and it explains what happened in the time of Jared.
When I was a kid, I had like a fascination with mythology and stuff like that. And I think one of the biggest fascinations was, did like somebody just make all this stuff up and then everybody believed it? Like all the the stories and all that? Like, did somebody how did they just come up with these stories if they didn't actually happen? And then I read the Book of Enoch. And then it all made sense.
Yeah.
It did actually happen.
Yeah, so they had their other versions of it, like whether it's Hercules or Zeus or these other things, because I'll put it this way. Take the most awesome Marvel movie you've ever seen and then read the Book of Enoch, or even take the not Genesis, but all the way through the Old Testament. Well, either you're believing these people were real giants when they came into the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, or you really believe... Did David fight a giant? I believe he did.
Yeah.
And
two more.
Yeah. And then look at his brothers. I mean, look at the other people. King Og.
Yeah.
King Og. You know, Moses had him whacked.
His name's Og.
Yeah. But crying out loud, Og. You know? But, you know, here they are. They're finding all these things. But, you know, a lot of this is like, if I could do another podcast on anything, it would definitely be on this topic.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the things, these Nephilim mounds that you find all over the planet, and they say, well, it was just Indian tribes that went up there. Well, even the tribes themselves say, no, we didn't do this.
Right. And that's just a huge waste of time for a hunter-gatherer society.
So all of these things, I know we're a little, I mean, this isn't really the topic that everybody talks about. It's good news, interesting news, and bad news. So, yeah, we could talk a lot more about this stuff because it really is a passion of mine to know more about it. And then you understand how the Smithsonian isn't what you think it is, folks. Every time anybody finds anything of note, who comes in out of nowhere? They want to call it a burial site, and the Smithsonian creeps in.
Yeah, would you all stop reporting what you're finding, please?
Yeah.
Stop reporting it.
But don't do it before L.A. Marzulli shows up or Steve Quayle or somebody like that.
Thank you.
All right, so the good news. 8 healthiest varieties of nuts for vibrant health. The reason I'm pointing this out, I've mentioned many times before, I live primarily on a keto lifestyle these days. Feel great. No energy crashes. No, none of that stuff. Kicked in a lot of other things, but I also have nuts from time to time too. And there's a whole variety of reasons, but the biggest problem I run into is I cannot eat peanuts. My chiropractor, I think I covered this in past episodes, but basically I'm allergic to them. I'm not allergic to peanuts. I'm just allergic to the junk they put on them.
Huh.
Okay.
Imagine that.
So, but they put peanut oil in just about every single nut you buy. So it's aggravating to me that I got to go out and buy raw nuts. Half the time you buy them in the bulk section, they're stale.
Yeah.
So you never want to buy them there. And then lo and behold, at my local grocery store, Ingles up here, they actually got a mixed nut thing with no oil on them. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty awesome. Now I can just mix in some macadamia nuts and I get the whole thing. So this article is talking about the 8. Let me also kick this in. I've talked before about the hardest thing to find in nature is fat. Well, you can get some fats, a fair amount of them actually, from some of these nuts that you might be able to grow at your place.
But hold on. Before you get into that, macadamia nuts, one thing that...
We're not growing those.
No. I'm not. Well, yeah, we're definitely not. But one thing that really, really needs a permaculture version of are macadamia nuts. If you went down to Australia and saw like the macadamia farms, it's just like the workers can't even, if it rains, the workers can't even walk in between the trees because it's just slippery. It's just slime in between because there's no light hitting the ground.
Huh.
They're so doggone close together. There's no light hitting the ground. Absolutely nothing lives below these macadamia
trees. They get pretty tall?
Not as tall as about an apple tree, as tall as an apple tree can get, but about that. And they get real bushy too.
Well, if some of these things jump off, well, you won't be getting any macadamia nuts because I don't know where they're growing those in the United States of Amnesia. These other ones you can get. Okay, so on this list of the 8 healthiest variety of nuts for vibrant health, I won't go into the details, but basically walnuts, you can grow those. Hazelnuts, we grow those. Almonds, you can probably grow those depending on where you are. Of course, macadamias. And, you know, tons of fat, good fat in those. Brazil nuts, cashews, pistachios, which I won't be eating anymore.
Pistachios?
No, I haven't eaten any of those ever since I talked to Seth Holhouse about how they get cracked.
Pistachios?
Pistachios. It's
I like the cracking part.
Well, if I can find, I mean, if they're already cracked, like I used to love pistachio pudding when I was a kid. And, I mean, the pistachios, I love the aromatic flavor of them. But stick around Wednesday, and you'll understand the reason why I have not eaten pistachios in quite a while. Unless I know that they are honestly harvested, honestly produced, I won't be touching any pistachios. But, yeah, that's not in that nut mix at Ingles anyway. So when we get back, y'all, we are going to jump right into it. All right, welcome back. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. I'm not going to go into all the nasty news going on in the world right now, but they're doing everything they can to evoke something from Russia, and it's a miracle it hasn't already happened. So,
hey, for the new people, real quick, explain what EMP Shield is, just real quick.
Okay, basically electromagnetic pulse. In fact, when I was looking to get one, I was looking for really a transient voltage surge suppressor. And basically a lightning arrester. And so I looked at it and I saw the guarantee that they offered. And being a journeyman electrician, I've installed these things for years in car plants, tire plants, you name it. And not one of them stood up to what I was seeing from this EMP shield. So I call up and I find out, oh, hold on. You mean people I know actually run this thing? Yeah. People I knew back when I was really involved in the preparedness movement. And I'm like, okay, you got this kind of deal where if it actually gets past this thing, lightning blows up my stuff in the house. You're going to cover me for 25 G's. Okay. That's better than anything else on the market. And then as far as the EMP part of it, there's a number of different types of EMPs. So if one of them comes down there, it shunts it to ground before it ever gets a chance to damage or fry the stuff on the inside of your house. Same thing with your car. Now, have I actually gone out and tried it? No, they've tested this stuff, done some high-end military testing on a lot of this stuff. So the idea at the end of the day, the one in the vehicles, look, I ain't trying to go to the club. I just need to get home. That's all I need to do. And as far as your number one threat, it's always going to be lightning. It's a wonderful thing that it just happens to cover me on the EMP part of it too.
Right.
But the number one reason I got it on my house is lightning surge protector. And their guarantee is ironclad. So it's worth every dime as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what it is. Promo code PERMA, $50 off with that. So let's talk about the best university ever. And I mean, kind of leading up all the way through, it's like everything we talked about had some element into this. And son, feel free to jump in anywhere because 9 times out of 10, I prep these shows and William just kind of, he shoots from the hip as far as where it's coming from. I do 99% of the show prep, at least in terms of the topic. So
I do the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, he does all that stuff. And I do pretty much all the show prep, but we do it that way on purpose because I want an honest. I don't give him any heads up until we start the show because I honestly want his fair assessment and I don't want to poison the well. That's exactly what I'm trying to evoke out of these things. It's not that he can't do it. It's I don't want him to do it because I want him to check something if I'm not right, or he might see it differently. So that way we don't influence one another. I'm going to talk about that best university ever. I told you in the beginning about being an autodidact, self-taught, and how you ought to encourage your kids to be that very thing. Even if they're in public school, which I hope and pray you're able to get them out, not everybody's able to do that. I get it. But around that dinner table is where I learned to be an autodidact, and that was basically from parents who were both convicted felons. The most valuable thing I learned, yeah, you go to school and you learn at that time what they want you to know, but it was hearing my dad talk about what really happened at the Kennedy assassination, how he didn't buy it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And like I said, at that time, he was a career criminal. I mean, he spent a fair piece of his life in prison.
So he would know.
Bam. Yeah, he might have even known some of the shooters, to be honest with you. It was his understanding, but he was also an autodidact, and he was a, for a period of his life, he was a very, very honest thinker about, and critical thinker about the things that were presented to him. So that was one of the things. He also was very critical about the moon landing. And then he was critical about other things, and then other things not so much. When he was younger, he was very thoughtful about what he would and wouldn't believe, and then as he became older, less so, to the point where he was more willing to buy what was spoon-fed to him. And I hope and I pray that, not talking down to my dad or anything, but I truly hope and pray, man, I've seen this in so many people, some of them famous too, where they got their minds made up about anything and they can't learn anything new. Or maybe you've believed this certain thing for 50 years, or you learned it a certain way for 50 years and you're unwilling to rewire yourself or retool because there might be a better way of doing it. One of the things I hated hearing the most when I was in the electrical union, and I'm still a member, I mean, still in good standing. The thing I hated hearing, no matter what issue I was trying to solve, was, and I quote, "That's the way it was always been. That's the way it's always been done."
Yep.
An appeal to authority or tradition is the biggest way to get me absolutely riled. And I'm like, okay, that's why you're doing it, is because it's the way it's always been done. And
when I'm told that, that means it's completely open for like improvements.
Well, it tells me that person is lazy.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10. So when it comes to everything else, the reason why I'm saying this is the best university ever is because I've taken stock, and there was a series of things that happened. There's no need to really get into those. But I realized that I am in a constant university level education every single day of my life. And guess who picked the curriculum, son?
You.
That's right.
Yeah.
So just a brief overview of what of the coursework I have going on right now. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm trying to make a larger point here, y'all, because check it out. All these classes I actually had in college. So,
so you're having to revisit them.
So, I mean, goes right back to what you were just saying. So yeah. I'm in a, you know, I'm still in the middle of a soil class. Talked about some of the compost I've learned and how I'm, you know, as an autodidact, taking some of that information and making it better. I'm in a speed reading course. I'm in a speech communications course. I'm in a fasting program. Just, a lot of these I paid for.
Yeah.
I'm in a workout program. I haven't yet started, but I'm all signed up. So here it is. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not important right now, but the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different classes. So let's say you're in high school or college. Let's say you're taking 5 different courses. I picked all the coursework and I paid. I didn't just get some random instructor in college who's just checking the box 9 times out of 10 or they have to work within a very narrow paradigm. No, when you work as a private college instructor, well, things change all of a sudden. Because now, if I'm not putting out a good product, then they can go somewhere else. And believe me, they're going to talk.
Yeah.
So you'll notice that anytime I do an in-person class, I try to give 200%. Not for that reason that I'm worried about somebody bad-mouthing me. It's just I don't know how to do it any other way.
Also, I've been a part of classes where, like, we've paid however much, and it didn't feel like it was worth that. And that's almost like a detriment to whatever it is you're trying to learn. That almost, like, stops you wanting to even learn the process. So whenever you take a class and then you get more than what your money, you know, more than what you paid for, then you're even kind of more eager to learn the process.
You know what's even more astounding is that every one of these classes are a fraction of what you would pay in a freaking college.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and
like I said,
time. And time.
Right. All these classes, and I'm doing them. I am the best student ever because I'm actually doing it. Now, let me break this down. Okay, so Elaine's soil class. Best money I've ever spent, ever, in terms of agriculture. Right there alongside my permaculture design certificate. I mean, hand in hand. So, learned how to make compost even better. Learned how to make compost teas. We just made an extract yesterday. Showed them how to do it on Patreon. And all these different things, y'all. And it has opened up new avenues of thinking. Because now I can take the knowledge I got from her, overlay it with what I got from Jeff Lawton, overlay it with what I got from Stefan Subkowiak, overlay it with what I got from Bill Mullison, overlay it with what I got from Mark Shepard, on and on and on, Joel Salatin, mm-hmm. Greg Judy, take all the information I had there, and now I'm able to graft this new knowledge into it. And because it is so incredibly thorough, now does it require something out of you? Yeah, I'll get to that when I get to the speed reading. So all these different things that I have now added to my toolbox, I just got off the phone a little bit ago with my friend Barrett, and I was talking to him about some of this stuff and how basically it is this self-taught stuff where you become your guidance counselor. You become the person who selects all your okay, you're in college. You got to take foreign language.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, do I want that? Do I need that? No, it's going to make you a more well-rounded student. Okay, well, why don't you let me make the call on this?
Yeah. Yeah, let me be as well-rounded as I want to be.
So, you know, with this, I got an associate.
And it didn't freaking work. Look what we're dealing with now.
Yeah, 2 degrees, and they're not even worth the paper they're written on. So let's move on down to this speed reading course. So for this course, I spent $200 for it. I was a little bit dubious at first. I heard it from that Diary of a CEO, and I'm like, okay, let me give this guy a shot. $200 ain't nothing to sneeze at, but if it does what he says it does, let me go ahead and try it. So here it is. I started off at like 260 words a minute, tested today, and I'm only 10 days into this thing.
Yeah.
And I was almost 500 and some words.
Oh, wow.
And I was actually slowing myself down, so probably closer to 600, and I'm only 10 days into a 21-day course. So
what's the end goal is to like
triple your initial reading speed was, but I had taken these speed reading courses before. Well, this guy, clearly he wants to have his stuff in a row because he wants me to go out there and tell everybody on this podcast, because I'm not going to tell you what it is until I complete it.
Yeah.
But so far I'm very pleased with it. My comprehension is through the roof, and in the process of doing this stuff, I'm going to show you what unfolded. This wasn't even part of the course. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I felt compelled to do it. But I started using, and I told you about this, I started using my left hand to do everything.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, maybe, I started using my left hand to brush my teeth. Okay, first day, it probably took me 10 minutes to brush my teeth. Been doing it every
Dang,
day.
Dad.
10 minutes because I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
I don't know why I felt compelled to do it. I just started doing it. And like I told everybody in the last one, find a different way to drive home. I'm like, okay, man, there's a lot of people I know that are telling me they're in a rut. And I don't know why I felt compelled to do it. This is all going to make sense in a minute. I started brushing my teeth with my left hand, okay? 3 or 4 days into it, you know, I'm having to concentrate less, but I'm doing it. Now I'm doing it, and I'm able to let my mind drift like I would before. You're brushing your teeth. Because it's so rhythmic and such a pattern, you don't ever really think about, okay, I got to do this next, got to do that next. Yeah. Now I'm to that point with my left hand. So then I'm like, okay, I mastered this. I'm going to keep it up, and I'm going to keep doing it. Now I'm going to start feeding myself with my left hand. I'm going to hold my cup with my left hand. And so what I found out in this speed reading course, one of the exercises you're asked to do, there's a number of exercises, but one of them is to use your left hand for a certain part of this.
Yeah.
And like I said, folks, I'll reveal when I'm all said and done, if I'm still happy with it. So far, so great. I know folks are going to know what it is, but I'll tell you after it's done. I'm not going to jump the shark until it's all said and done. And then sure enough, this guy says in the course, after I'm about 6 days in, hey folks, I want you to start using your left hand to do all this. Well, I was already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Because I was already brushing my teeth left-handed, driving home a different way, putting my left hand on the steering wheel, making it because I had no idea at the time. I still don't know why I felt compelled to do it, but he was explaining how, and then it made sense to me. It's like the, in permaculture, you learn what's called the core effect.
Right.
Where if you take like a tree, imagine a tree above ground, the same thing that's happening above ground, same thing is happening below ground. So imagine the roots in inverse of what you see above. So anything that happens on the left side of the roots happens on the right side of the tree.
Right.
Anything and vice versa. Same thing with your brain. If you suffer damage on your right, it suffers the left side of your body. So he was talking about this right brain, left brain thing, which I didn't know a whole lot about before. But then he had talked about how doing other things helps to unlock the other side of your brain.
Hmm.
So I was already doing this. And then like today, using his method, I was already using the trifocus reading method. But there's a lot, you got to get yourself into a very specific mode of thinking in order to do it. With this guy's methods, I'm like, dude, I'm zooming across. I'm having to slow myself down. Otherwise, I'd be at 600 words a minute, and I'm still just barely starting this.
Is the retention the same?
Better.
Okay.
Better, because now there are little tricks you do that, okay, for example, you know how you read and you say the words in your head, in your mind?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too bogged down on this.
Right.
There's a method he teaches you. It feels weird, but it works. And that voice in your mind when you read goes away instantaneously. But it requires practice.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I was getting into this. So I'm reading the comments of the other people that are part of this, and they're complaining like, well, it hasn't taken off the way it should. Well, and then you find out they haven't even practiced.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so you do the one drill that it gives you, but it's like getting guitar lessons.
Yeah.
You go there from the instructor, but you take the guitar home. You never practice it. You never pick it up again until you go to the next session.
Yeah, the people that only practice at sessions, yeah.
Exactly. And it's the same exact thing for these courses. So don't even sign up if you're not. All I know is if I can increase my retention and... like I said, when I get myself, it just takes an awful lot to get myself into that beta state that I got to get into in order to do the trifocus.
You almost have to meditate beforehand.
Yeah, you have to. But now this guy's teaching me that now I can just pick up a book, and as long as I do these right things, that I'm like, okay, I go from 200 and somewhere, 260 to almost 600. And had I not been slowing myself down, I'd have been well over 600. So... my point being is that, gee, $200 compared to what? Okay, so what's the college tuition on a speed reading course? A few thousand?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is still more expensive than sending, like, let's say you have a kid getting college. That sending them off to a different country for a few months is still cheaper than college tuition.
There you go. 10 times easier. Like with William, instead of sending him off to college, like we often say, we send him off to Australia. Allowed him to be the autodidact that we raised him to be. And now, so
send
essentially,
off to a penal colony.
So essentially, son, you retired in your 20s as a result of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, it's got to be something you love, though. So let me move on. So I got a speech communication course that Eric Sider turned me on to. This course costs about $1,000. And I'm floored by why. Okay, so I thought I had a good understanding of the speech communication space. I didn't know crap. I've been trained in radio, trained in college, numerous courses on speech and communication, and I'm realizing how much more effective I can be at this. How I'm not using tonality, inflection, all these other, imagine as he teaches in this course, that your voice is an instrument.
Yeah.
And you use all, you have so many different parts of it, and you don't learn any of this in college. None. So his course was $1,000. How much do you think that college course costs? Thousands.
Yeah. Plus whatever like crappy book they make you buy as well.
And as I'm doing this podcast, I'm realizing all the way through it, the errors I'm making in speaking.
Oh, yeah.
But this is my craft. Communicating on YouTube is part of my craft.
Yeah, I need to take that class.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I need to be a better communicator in so many different ways, because it works not only when you're working in a medium like this, it's not to try to influence people even more. The idea is to get the point across and be more effective at it. This is my craft. I need to know it.
Yeah.
So I'm finding out through this course, and it's called the Stage Academy. That one I'll tell you. I am absolutely dumbfounded at what I'm learning here.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be more pleased about it. So, fasting program. This one cost very little because it started with a book. And this is Dr. Mindy Peltz. I recommended her a little while back. So Dr. Mindy also has a YouTube channel. So I come up with a fasting program for myself. I'm like, okay, I've been doing this intermittent fasting for a while. And then because of her book, which your mom has down there, you find out if you stay, like there's a lot of people, she says the one meal a day people are the worst in the world because they don't want to change, but they hit a plateau and don't understand why or how to get out of it. Well, I was intermittent fasting, but I was doing the same thing every day. I eat at noon and then maybe it's six, noon and six, every single day.
Yeah.
Well, your body, just like if you do the same workout routine, it'll get used to it and it'll stop growing. Same thing with your fasting routine. So I am now on a schedule that I started this week.
Yeah.
It's called the 4-2-1. So for 4 days out of this week, and I get to choose, you don't have to pick whatever day, it's whatever works out for you. 4 days you intermittent fast for autophagy, at least I am. So that means for me, 18-hour fast, 17 to 18-hour fast, 4 days of the week. 1 day of the week, 24-hour fast. And then another day of the week where you just eat pretty much whatever you want within reason. You eat maybe three meals a day.
Yeah.
So the idea there is that your body keeps guessing, like, because it's supposed to be in a feast or famine state. That's the way it's meant to be. So then there's another program. As soon as I do that for maybe a week or maybe I'll, there's actually three programs. The other one is a 5-1-1. 5 days do autophagy fasting. Do 1 day.
What does that mean? Autophagy fasting. Basically, what does that consist of? Just eating once a day or what?
Basically, you're fasting for roughly anywhere between 16 to 18 or 20 hours.
Gotcha.
So your body's repairing itself within that time. So this and five.
What about the 1-1? What do you do those 1 days?
The four. Well, that's what I was explaining, son.
Right, you're the saying four, it was 5-1-1. What does the like you're saying it, you have to fast for autophagy.
Let me back up. Four days you fast for autophagy on the 4-2-1. The 2 days you fast 24 hours in a week, and then 1 day you do whatever you want for a day. So the 5-1-1 is 5 days of autophagy fasting, 1 day of a 36-hour fast maybe, or it could be 24, and then 1 day. So whatever it is, you got to keep it guessing. So here it is, this education that I'm getting is light years better than the same people in college telling you that the reason you hurt after a workout is because of lactic acid.
Right.
And they knew that that wasn't the case for over 30 years, but they're still teaching that in college. Just like they're still teaching the battle of the Monitor and the Merrimack in history class. It was the Monitor and the Virginia. One of my big pet peeves. But the point being is that the best education you're going to find out there. Like right now, I'm looking into, I got a grandchild coming up, and they're going to be homeschooled. And so I'm going through homeschool curriculums right now, and the one by far, the leading course out there seems to be Ron Paul.
You got a minute, Dad.
No, but I'm...
We got a minute.
I know that, but at the same time, I'm looking at the work of people like John Taylor Gatto, and I'm looking at the work of these other people that have done extraordinary work. And one of your mom and I's biggest regrets is ever sending you to public school. We wish we had never have done that, but we didn't know any better at the time.
But it wasn't without the, it's not like I went to public school without the education at home.
Right.
So it's not like it went away.
Right. No, it was some of the influence that you got there and some of the mistakes that I made. I mean, you can't make that mistake. But if we can constantly set the curriculum, even after the fact, for ourselves. Y'all, I'm going on 52 years old, and I'm the most productive I've ever been in my life. And I am trying, I am begging, I am pleading with everybody out there. You don't have to go through it as deeply. Like I said, I'm not even going to cover the workout program because I'm just running out of time right now. I don't want this program to go on and on forever. But here it is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things that I've paid for myself. Some of it requires nothing more than a library card.
Yeah.
Just requires you picking up a book.
Or not even that. I mean, just going to YouTube.
There you go.
Yeah.
For the right reasons.
Right.
And then actually doing it. You know, dreams without deeds are nothing. You can dream all day. But here I am putting extraordinary things into my mind, in my body, in my behavior, all the way around. So in essence, COVID has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, in the long run. Because that's what really evoked all this stuff. Here I am down from 200 pounds down to 170. Michelle tells me to quit losing weight. I'm to the point right now where I feel great. I'm now out of Plato's cave regarding fasting and a number of other things, and I'm wanting to tell everybody about what I'm discovering. But it also applies to these other courses out there. Folks, so many people are coming up to me, friends, acquaintances, and they're like, man, I'm just in a rut. I'm in a rut. I think part of the reason you're in a rut, number one, you got to start self-educating. Mark Twain wrote an awful lot about it. A lot of other American, look at all the founding fathers for crying out loud. Every last one of them was an autodidact. Every one, without question. And it wasn't just them. It was everybody, all of their contemporaries, all of them. The people you know about and a lot of the ones you haven't, they were all autodidacts. So make your own curriculum. And I am so disciplined when it comes out of the gates where I don't, look, I'm not taking any text messages. I'm not checking my phone. I'm not doing any of this stuff. And now I'm starting to get a level of fulfillment because even my spiritual life is kicking off to another level. Everything that matters is kicking off to a much improved level. And all of it comes down to making your own curriculum. Quit letting the TV determine what you're going to learn. Figure it out for yourself and then go full steam ahead in it. Now, like I said, I got a complete curriculum right here that I'm talking about that I work on every single day. Now, I do take Friday from 6 to Saturday from 6 as a break. But even then, I'm still working in some capacity on every bit of this. So, folks, that's all I want you to do. Son, you got anything you want to add to that?
I think you hit it all. Like an apprenticeship and being an autodidact, I think.
What are you doing to improve your end of things?
Well, I'm doing that soil class right now, right? I'm also learning the process of, I guess we'll keep it at land acquisition right now. And then, also jujitsu. I'm learning a brand new skill with jujitsu, which is, I mean, it's different than the wrestling I did in high school for sure. I mean, there's stuff to grab. I'm having to relearn things that were just built in before. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just muscle memory. I'm having to break that down and then relearn new things. Habits that I had while grappling, I'm having to get rid of, like leaving your neck exposed. That's a pretty important one.
Brushing your teeth with your left hand.
Yep.
That's exactly what it comes down to. And son, I almost forgot to point out, I really started kicking up my speed. Once I noticed at the same time that when I got to the point where I'm brushing my teeth with my left hand without thinking about it, all of a sudden my reading ability went through the roof and my comprehension as well.
That's cool.
Part of what I learned. All right, y'all, we get back. We're going to go straight into the Q&A.
Chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no. I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster before I hit the beach.
All right. Back with your Q&A. Want to give a hat tip, as always, to Joel Thomas and Van Tesla. Go check out Kill the Mockingbirds as well. And Joel, he's been a tremendous blessing here. All right, y'all, we got one from Andy. Hey, y'all, I'm just curious, is there a way you can turn up the volume on the podcast? I've been listening to it all day while I'm riding on my equipment at work, and I can't hear it over the equipment. Son, I don't know. You got anything for that?
Turn up the volume on the podcast? I don't know. I mean, I can adjust the levels on most things, I guess. I'll give it a shot, yeah. As of right now in this podcast, it's too late. But on the next ones, I can try for sure.
All right.
Yeah. Got one from Strider 47. Awesome interview with Don and Gavin. Encouraging to see that generational mindset working out. Also, Gavin has some jams. The ESV is the English Standard Version. I preferred it over NIV and NASB. I'm not sure which one that is. American. And some others. Also, there's a 007 joke in here somewhere. A guy named Bond talking about using a honeypot to his advantage. Yep.
Bam.
Hashtag tip a pimp.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love Strider. Received my order and planted the comfrey June 2nd and 3rd, and three of them have come up so far. Just wondering if I need to be patient. Yeah, it could take up to, sometimes 6 weeks for these things to come up. But please, folks, do not put them in rich soil, potting soil, worm castings, anything like that, and make sure you keep them watered, especially this time of year. But keep in mind, let's say you got 20 and 10 of them came up. Well, those are 10 that are perfectly adapted for your soil. All we've done video after video on how to replicate it. One plant will produce, what did we say, 100 more?
Well, yeah, it was roughly, on average, it's about, I think, 80. It's not uncommon to get 80 cuttings and then splitting the crown into like 4 to 6 pieces. That's not uncommon at all. Got one, another one from Strider 47. Billy, do not do a web search for OnlyFans unless they reinstate a mask mandate and you want your viral video to spread faster. Hashtag tip a pimp, you know, hashtag bond money for Billy Bond.
Well, I've been really careful about where my, I'll tell you what, man, some of these things, I have very little interaction on the internet except where I need to these days. Because I'm realizing how insidious it is where I, for example, go to YouTube to go look at comments. Something pops up and it takes my, I'm like, oh no, you guys ain't getting me now.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So Daryl says, I'll get straight to it. Pastor was preaching on this, and because I love you and your family, here it is. Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Okay. It's longer here, but I know we got other stuff to get through. I would also caution you back, my friend, where Hitler also used Romans 13 quite a bit. There's a pastor out there, basically obey the government.
Right.
But if you look at, if you got to take it in context, I'm not sure what your preacher said, but think about this. Everything, not everything, but many things, look at everything in the New Testament. Was it in violation of what the powers that shouldn't be told them not to do? So just because that they're in government, you know, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, I'm going through Daniel right now, the book of Daniel, just finished it today. Well, he was told by law, you can't pray.
Yeah.
But he did anyway. Threw him in the lion's den. You know how that went down. Paul, everybody was going, they were breaking against the tide nonviolently. So we got to be real careful about how you use Romans 13. Like I said, it was Hitler's favorite thing in the world was Romans 13. So be really, really mindful about it on the other end too. But I get your point.
Wow. Got one from Josh. Hey, y'all. I know you are all about leftovers from places like bakeries. Sorry, I'm having to do some editing here. My questions are, how much bread is too much bread? And if you hit the mother load, what do you do to store the bread so it lasts longer than before mold gets it? Keep preaching the good word. Thanks.
Okay, when it comes to some of that stuff right there, it helps when you have pigs too.
And well, it's for the pigs.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for pigs. He's wanting to know, like, how much bread. The subject of the email was feeding hog scraps.
Here's part of the problem when it comes to pigs. And it's part of the reason Joel Salatin hasn't written a how-to book on everything about pigs, because so much changes between phenotypes, between breeds and this and that. So what may apply to one breed, you give like a guinea hog bread, man, they're going to look like Jabba the Hutt. But if you give it to a Yorkshire and you can use it in moderation, it's something you're going to have to develop your own eye for, because no matter the breed, it could be two different breeds. Man, there's just so much you're just going to have to play with. And people are turned off by that answer, but the truth of it is, you're just going to have to use your powers of observation, because that's what a lot of permaculture is.
It's possible, like Tony, who we're interviewing here soon, from the confessionals, his first two pigs he has right now, and at first he was overfeeding them. It's possible to give pigs too much feed and make them fatter than they should be for that age.
Like with a guinea hog, you need to feed them very little.
right?
Or these mixtures. I mean, there's so many variables that you're just going to have to use your grazer's eye and find out, okay, are they getting a little bit too chubby? Because some of these cases, you can't get it back off of them. So it's something you're going to have to kind of weigh out for yourself. We got one from Ryan. Says, hey, could we please get an entire Pimpcast with Billy doing his Snoop Dogg voice? God bless you and yours. You know this, nephew. I don't know if I can keep it up for a whole hour.
Oh, man. I got one from Gavin's Guitar Co. on the YouTube channel. He said, thanks for letting me and my pawpaw on the pod. It was an honor.
Well, I look forward to performing with him up there in Kentucky. Just got to figure out some jams that me and him are going to do together.
That's going
to
be funny.
It ought to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Got one from Scott. And, man, this is a good problem. He says, hey, Billy and William, I made this compost pile on William's birthday and just have finished turning it. Basically, he made this pile, and Sonny's a little bit concerned with the things coming out of the top. It looks a little woody. It's hard to know what's inside, but he's a little concerned about these things you see popping up there.
With the mushrooms?
Yeah. Is that a good or a bad thing?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep. That means you've got some fungal inoculated compost. I can't tell if it's dominant from here, but.
Yeah, so like I was talking to my friend on the phone a little while ago, that most compost piles, and we've done some checking on some, probably not going to be a problem with bacteria, but there's almost certainly a problem with enough fungus. That is a big deal. So when you see those mushrooms growing up in your pile, make sure you keep that moisture going, and it wouldn't hurt to inoculate some other mushrooms in there. Because the thing that we have the biggest problem trying to maintain in most of our compost is a fungal component. So, yeah, that's a really, really good thing.
I got one from LG Dolls 1. You talk about the hard 75 a lot, or the 75 hard a lot. Is there any way you guys could do a pimp cast about it, how to do it, and what all is involved? Also, maybe another pimp cast on the three-day fasting, how to do it, and what electrolytes you use. Husband and I are looking for an additional way to boost our health. We are alternative health and both are 68 years old. Would love to hear more about both.
You know, those are really not bad ideas. That's in fact, as far as my education, add the 75 hard into it. Maybe we can do another episode like that later on, yeah. Because that would probably be a great help to a number of people out there. We've briefly talked and kind of hit the key sides of all of it, but I am busier than I have ever been in my life. 75 hard is usually a handful by itself, but I added all these other courses on there, and fasting isn't even part of it. Most people would never consider fasting doing 75 hard.
Yeah.
So I added that other component into it because there's a lot of things I'm trying to do, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do with Pastor Lon and also James. James is also an RN.
Yeah.
Where Pastor Lon's going to cover it from a spiritual angle. James is going to cover it from a medical angle. And I'm covering it from a preparedness angle. So we're hitting a trifecta here. And it might be a great benefit to a number of people out there if we cover this in greater detail. So regardless of your age, no matter where you are in this continuum, folks, you got to try to keep yourself young. And a lot of it means learning these other methods, these other techniques.
Yep. I got one from Trash Can Bees. So last episode, somebody was asking us about like the efficacy of that deer antler velvet. Well, I've got a comment talking about that exactly. This is from Trash Can Bees 2739. On the topic of antler velvet, I was hesitant to try it because I couldn't find a lot of info about how it affected women, but I finally did decide to just give it a try, and I was taking it every day for about 2 months, and the results were incredible. I was just hoping to improve my circulation, but it felt I had experienced accelerated healing in my entire body. I haven't taken it in a while because I've just felt so much better in general. I haven't had the need to. I had gotten it cheap from Piping Rock, so probably not the greatest quality, and it was totally worth trying, in my opinion. I'm really grateful you guys made me aware of it. It was life-changing for me.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I'm so awesome. It's so awesome to hear that.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I did not want to be a sponsor for any of things, there's certain things I will not, even though we could make money on it, that's not the point. When it comes to certain things regarding your health and these other things, I make absolutely sure, like when I talked about this cardio miracle, I make sure that I have absolutely no profit motive in any of that. So nobody's ever going to say that, oh, you're promoting this stuff, because no, I legitimately do not have any interest in it, even though I could probably make a fortune on it. That's not the game here. when it comes to your health and stuff like that, I'm never seeking. I want you to know that I'm absolutely serious. And the only way to get that point across to a number of people out there is to have no financial ties to it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm telling you about it, it's because I've used it. That's why I didn't want to tell you about the speed reading thing till I was done. I didn't want to tell you that, and I won't until I'm done. I want to be sure that I got this right before people go out there spending $200 to go get this thing, only to turn back around and, you know, find out on day 21 I was disappointed.
Yeah.
So that's part of the motive here. And when it comes to that IGF-1, I had fantastic results. I'm going to start using it again. I didn't want to risk anything over that fast, and I haven't yet kicked it back on, but I'm about to. And it's such a joy to be able to find these products out there. And yet that's another one of those things that they don't tell us about. You just got to learn. Hi, Billy and family. Greetings from Surrey County, North Carolina. I've been enjoying your content for years now. Appreciate the work. Keep up the great work and hope to meet you someday. Love your Romans 8:28 shirt, brother. Well, love you guys and all your comments and all your votes of encouragement. It means so much, especially when everybody's trying to break you down and tear you down, especially when you're doing these things as there's no, you don't make anything. Yeah. I mean, you're not making any money on YouTube. You're not making money necessarily on a podcast, unless you're Joe Rogan or somebody like that. You're generally not making a career out of it. You're doing this because you love it. And I do love it. And I love the interaction with you guys. And I'm really thankful to be able to disseminate this information because there's so much of this stuff. Like I brought up John Taylor Gatto a while ago.
Yeah.
Had no way to tell the whole world you have got to check out the Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. If you do that, you will realize everything you learned about the public education system is garbage and how to fix it.
There's another podcast episode.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's so many awesome things that we can do from this platform, and hopefully it is helping a lot of folks out there. So, y'all, I want to thank you so much for your support, but until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.